pleasure to be with you. Really good day with the leaders yesterday. Just speaking about ancient boundary stones in our lives that should never be moved. And, you know, whenever I come to you guys, I'm always kind of at a little bit of a dilemma because there's stacks of things I want to share. But then I have to kind of boil it down to one thought in the time that we got this morning. But I've been doing a lot of revisiting recently to truths that I've learned over the years and just regaining insight and knowledge from them and getting the fruit out of them again. And we were sharing yesterday to the leaders just on some of the old thoughts of sowing and reaping in our life and authority and accountability and those truths of God in our walk with Him. But I wanted to just share this morning in the time that we've got from John 15, which to me has always been a bit of a signature message to my life. It's always been around me, the whole thought of abiding in the vine, remaining in the vine and remaining in Christ. It's always never been a message that's been far from me, and God's always seemed to me to bring me back to it and teach me something new. Don't you love that about the Bible? That you read it, even some passages of Scripture, you read them over and over again and you think, right, I've got a diploma in that one now. I know everything about that passage of Scripture. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit leads you back there one day and you read it and you're like, I've never seen that before. That's what makes the Bible a living book. You know, the man that says he understands it, read it and gets it all is deceiving himself, because you can keep returning back and seeing over and over again. And this is one of those passages that God always has me regularly come back to. And it's quite significant to us actually, because a family church is 19 years old this October. And when we started Family Church, what's known as Family Church to many people today, it actually started as Abide in the Vine. There's a little bit of trivia for you. Abide in the Vine Family Church. And we'd been living over in America. And in America, they're a lot more spiritual with church names. They really are, you know. Here, we're just like the church. Or, you know, there it's like the second redeemed saviour of this. And they just, they're creative. So I came back from living in America. And I said, we're going to, when we decided to open a church, we're going to call it Abide in the Vine Family Church. And to me, I knew what that meant because I'd been a Christian and walking with God a number of years. To me, the understanding of John 15 was central to my beliefs. But I didn't realize that the world really wouldn't have a clue what that meant. And one day, I was putting the rubbish out, and I had my Abide in the Vine t-shirt on. And I bumped into my neighbor, and my neighbor said, good morning, how are you? I said, I'm very well, thank you, yourself? He said, yeah, it's good. He said, oh, can't help noticing your t-shirt. He said, I'm a part of a wine testing club too. And I thought, what are you on about? And then I realized he was looking at this big bunch of grapes and Abide in the Vine on my t-shirt. So I suddenly thought, we need to take this back to the chalkboard here. And so we just came out as Family Church, Portsmouth, Guildford, wherever we may be. But the truth of why I opened a church called Abide in the Vine has never left me, because it's fundamental to our experience of walking with Christ. The simplicity of this is fundamental to you enjoying God as you should, having a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as you should. And it's such a simple statement, but it's so profound. And I just want to concentrate a little bit on it this morning, if we may. So in verse 15 it says, I am the true vine. That's Jesus speaking. He says, and my Father is the gardener, or the vine dresser. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it be even more fruitful. There's a whole message in there, isn't there? If we took the role of the Father as the vine dresser just out of the page for a moment and concentrated on that, each of the people or characters in these verses have a message in themselves. But if we just took the Father for a moment and reminded ourselves and encouraged ourselves this morning that he's non-abusive, he's loving, but he is a gardener and he is a vine dresser. And when he looks at the bush or the vine of our life, he can't help himself saying, I know it can be more fruitful. I know it can produce better fruit. And knowing that, he can't help himself pruning us every now and then, but never to cause us harm or pain, but to bring more fruit from who we are. And, you know, we felt in our lives, me and Gina recently, that we're coming out of a time of pruning. And I really believe that that's not like blind hope. Like, at last, we must be through. I believe it's reality. That we've been through a season of, you know, like sometimes you like, there's a light at the end of a tunnel. Please let it not be a train, you know. but we really believe... We believe that we've been in a time of pruning in our lives in different areas, but we felt the hand of the Father, that God was trimming. It wasn't the devil, it wasn't life, it was God. It was God the Father saying, you know what, Andy and Gina, Elms family, family church, if we just nip off a few things here that you really don't need, we can release the life of who I am to other places. Because that's what a farmer does, isn't it? When somebody or a gardener trims a bush, it's because the life that's coming into it can then go to parts of it that maybe it wasn't going to before. And the Father will always prune us from things that are just death, things that have had their season, things that are no longer good for us. And that's where you've got to trust the hands of the Father. I know at Faith Camp last year I preached on the blacksmith. But the reality is that immature Christianity only ever celebrates the loving hands of the Father. And don't get me wrong, I love the loving hands of the Father. But also God wants you to know the hands of the potter and the hands of the blacksmith and also the hands of the vine dresser. And mature Christianity is when you can pray in the morning and say, Father, I thank you that my life is in your hands. But your hands to me today can be what you need them to be. If you need to mold me and shape me, be the potter. If you need to fashion me for battle, be the blacksmith. If you need to take some stuff away that I don't need so that I can produce new fruit that glorifies you and remains, be the vine dresser and the gardener in my life today. And I believe that's a gutsy prayer. I believe that you can really do some business with God and see... Yeah, but when we just come... Lord, I thank you today. Just hold me, loving Father. Hold me tenderly and speak sweet words. God's like, yeah, all right, yeah, I'll do that. But we're not really going to form you or fashion you or make you what you could be. But when we turn up and we pray some gutsy prayers like, I'm up for it today, God. I know that your hands are the hands of a father, strong and I'm secure. But Lord, be the gardener in me at my life today. Fashion me, blacksmith. Mold me, potter. Let my life be what you need me to be. We're not getting very far through these verses, but we're having a good time. Amen. You're already clean because of a word I've spoken to you. We need to be conscious of what God has already done. He sent forth his word of salvation, and it's called salvation within us. We should never be praying for God to do things that he's already done, but rather living from the fact of what he's made clean, who we are now. And then it says in verse 4, and this is Jesus teaching really simply, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. We understand that in agriculture, don't we? But we understand that also in life, that no branch can bear fruit by itself. And it says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And it was just the simplicity of the connection between the branch and the vine, the relationship between the branch and the vine, that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples then and now from. I call it the order of existence, that we must understand why we exist and how we exist. We must understand that God doesn't exist because of us. God doesn't exist because he's joined to us. We exist because we're joined to him. And as we remain joined to him, I know this is simple truth, but my experience is most of us need reminding of simple truth. That's what we need. That as we remain in him, he remains in us. But if we don't remain in him, like a branch that separates itself from a vine or a trunk, withering is inevitable. You can con it for a week or so and look like you're still alive. But death has entered into you simply because you removed yourself from the place that you draw life. The warning to us is don't do it. Because Jesus says simply, remain in me and I'll remain in you. And I love that he starts to unpack this with his guys in verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he's going over the same things again, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Some branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But again, he says, over and over again, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be disciples. Over and over again, Jesus is going back to this statement. Just remain in me. Just remain in me. It's not difficult. Religion is difficult. Yeah. Just remain in me. Consciously remain in me, and I will remain in you. That is such an awesome truth in our busy worlds and our busy life. I don't know how he was communicating this to his disciples. I think that, like us, they were a group of people that were just getting it as they went along. You know, they were like, and he was having to teach them things that were very deep in a simple way. And so I think on this day, he must have come upon a vine with its branches bearing great fruit and just said to his disciples for a moment, let's stop a moment, let's stop. I want to teach you something called the order of existence. But if we sat in a classroom, we'd probably be around for weeks. But I think I can teach you visually in a moment if you will grasp it in your heart. And the disciples were like, what's he on about? What's he going to teach us? And he looks at this vine that's coming out of the ground. It's healthy, it's strong, and off of it is coming this branch. And at the end of a branch, there's lovely fresh leaves and fruit. And then Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, okay, watch me now, boys, watch, watch. Me vine. Everybody still with me? Okay. You branch. Any questions? It was so simple yet so profound. Because then he looked and he said, this is all that you have to do. Like the branch remains in the vine, remain in me. And if you remain in me, I remain in you. And you will bear much fruit without struggling or striving. Because Christianity isn't meant to be a struggle. It's meant to be a joy. It's not meant to be a struggle. It's meant to be a joy. It's meant to amaze you, the changes that take place in you, because you're joined to Him. Religion tries to produce the fruit that the Bible requires without the union with God. And that's where it becomes religious and painful. Where the simplicity is, Jesus said, me vine. New branch. You've been joined to me, now remain. And just let my life be your life. I remember I was reading this recently because I felt the Lord bring me back to these passages. And there was a little bit of arrogance in me, actually. Lord, I know these verses. I've preached them over and over again. And all of a sudden I felt this little question. Who's missing? What? What do you mean, who's missing? Well, I've been preached since I was young that God is a Trinity. God in three persons. And Jesus goes to great lengths to introduce three characters, including us, but one remains absent in mention. He says the Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. I am the vine. But wait a moment, it's God in three persons, isn't it? Where's the Holy Spirit in John 15? And then I suddenly realized, he is so present even though he's not mentioned. Because he's the life that flows between the vine and the branch. When you mention in agriculture the branch and the vine, very rarely do you give mention to the sap. Yet the Holy Spirit is the life of God that's present in him and in us as we remain. Which means we don't have to stand for hours calling the Holy Spirit out of the sky. If we remember our call to remain, he's ever present within us, producing fruit when we're conscious and when we don't know. And all we need to do, the only requirement, remain. Abide. Isn't that beautiful? We are now joined to him. The simplicity of that is worthy of meditation for years. We are now joined to him. We are partakers of his sap. Not in church, in life. If you only bear fruit in church, you're not going to bear much fruit. But our life should be producing fruit and bearing fruit throughout the week. But they won't unless we break a church mentality of we come to church and we do our God bit and then we get on with our world. No, your God bit is your life. Unless you disconnect yourself for six days a week and then join yourself for one. That's not advisable. Again, when we study Romans 11, we see great parallels to John 15. Okay, if I just share my heart this morning, I've got no message or anything like that. But in Romans 11, it teaches us the concept that I've named broken off and grafted in. But it speaks of the Jewish nation, but also the Gentile, that our connection or our relationship with God is one that we're joined to him by faith and faith alone. It says, don't be haughty. Because those that were broken off could be grafted back in, and those that have been grafted in could be broken off. The issue is, the join is faith. Faith. For Jew or Gentile. Faith. Same seal. But it gives this picture in Romans 11, if you study it, that we were, in our salvation experience, broken off from an old vine and joined back to an original vine. And again, if you keep John 15 here, and just on this sky map, just put Romans 11 here. Bring Genesis 1 in over here. Genesis 1 and 2 here. In the beginning, man was joined to God spiritually. And they wanted nothing. In some ways, they were connected to the tree of life. And then a deceptive voice came in and said, there's another route available. Eat of this fruit, and it's good for the eye, but it's good for wisdom too. And Adam and Eve, and us in Adam and Eve, were conned away or broken away from the tree of life. Eat of that fruit, and in that day you will surely die. You will disconnect. And even though man survived mentally and physically, spiritually he became dead to God. Led through a door that was one-way door, he couldn't get back in. Jesus became a door that brought us back 2,000 years ago. Amen. But in the Garden of Eden, that moment when Adam and Eve sinned or disobeyed God, in essence what happened was their lives were snapped from a vine that gave them everything they needed. And they were joined to another vine. And the nature of that vine became their nature, a sin nature. Everybody still with me? How do we know they had a new nature? Because even within one generation there was murdering and lying. And that wasn't the nature of God. Within Cain, we see a new way of living that's evil. It's anti-God. It's anti-authority. It's the very seed of everything corrupt today. And man remained joined to that vine until Christ came 2,000 years ago. Now, when he died on a cross, you need to understand something powerful happened in your world. 2,000 years later, when you entered into that salvation by faith, do you know what happened when you got born again? You got born again. Oh, you got born again. You really did. It's not just a title. You got born again. In some ways, what happened when you said yes to Jesus was, if we imagine the Garden of Eden, bring Genesis 2 back in. What happened was, Jesus walked across the garden, footsteps of redemption. He took hold of your life that was now joined to an old vine that, according to Romans 11, was wild by nature. And he broke you off. But he didn't leave you abandoned in the garden. This is such good news. But he came back to the tree of life, from whence you first begun in Adam. And by faith you were joined again to the living vine. And the nature of that vine became the nature that wanted to be in you. And when we remove ignorance and stubbornness and pride, we remove the blockages, the life of God becomes our life again. The life of God is the Holy Spirit. We used to have a very, very short mission statement when we were abiding the Vine Family Church, and we never actually lost it. It was real simple. You know, people had these mission statements that went on for pages and pages. Ours was really simple. Break them off, graft them in, teach them how to suck sap. That was so genius. I don't know why we ever went away from it, because that contains everything that the gospel preaches. Break them off, graft them in, teach them how to suck sap. And so as Christians that have been broken off and grafted in, all we need to do is have a 101 on suck sapping. That's it, a 101 on suck sapping. But every morning you wake up and you remind yourself to whom you're joined to. And as you do, the communication of your faith, Philemon 6, becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you, in Christ Jesus. Not what God's going to do, what he has done, what he's already achieved in you by faith. You say, well, I'm not sure about that. Then you've got to remember 2 Peter 1:4. We are now partakers of a divine nature. Now, well, I don't feel it. Well, you're not called to live by feelings. This morning when I woke up, I didn't feel human, but I didn't believe my feelings. Saved, I didn't feel human. Took me a good cup of coffee before I even felt human, let alone saved. But I'm not moved by what I feel, I'm moved by what I believe. And I knew I was human, and I knew I was saved. And I knew that my life was now joined to him, which meant all I needed to do was yield to his life. If you could hear my prayer life most mornings, you would hear this most mornings in my prayers. We were talking about things we have in common. We've both got Westies and a West Highland Terrier, for those that are uneducated, to little white dogs. And we were saying, nobody knows my prayer life probably better than my Westie, because every morning I go out walking with it. And if you could interview Bonnie, my Westie, that would be kind of weird. But if you could, she'd say, you know, one of the things he says every morning, him, the guy on the end of a lead, you know what I hear him say every morning? He says this, thank you, Father, that I've been broken off and grafted in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, today you are the vine and I am the branch. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the life that's in the vine is in the branch today. And the life that's in the branch is producing fruit that glorifies you. Do you know the rest that's in that? Because most Christians I meet are like constipated apple trees. They really are. They come up to you and they speak of the fruit of the Spirit like they're constipated apple trees. They come up to you and they look at you and they go, oh, I'm getting peace, and oh, it's so difficult. God's giving me the fruit of peace, and ooh, and their faces, you're like, you're going to blow an archery in a moment. Stop it. Just stop it already. Stop it. You're going to hurt yourself. If that happened in an orchard, you'd be scared. If you were in this beautiful plot of Taunton and, you know, the orchards, and one summer's day you were out an orchard and you were just having a sandwich by an apple tree, and all of a sudden the apple tree started going, ooh, 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 going red in his little apple trunk cheeks, ooh, and all of a sudden it went, and out came an apple, and it leant on the tree next to it and went, woo, 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 that'll bring a tear to a glass eye. Woo, woo. You'd say, surely this is Harry Potter Hogsworth or something. This is not normal. No, it's not normal. Because what's normal, and you know it in agriculture, is that as the branch yields to the vine or the trunk. The life that flows daily through the trunk and the vine just freely flows through the yielded and connected branch, producing from the branch every fruit that's in its nature to produce. Now think about it. When you were joined to the old vine, Satan, he was your father. His nature was your nature. Did you have to try to sin? Please let me know, because I didn't. It just came naturally to me. I didn't even have to think about it. I didn't have to wake up in the morning and think, oh no. I know tonight I've got to go and get drunk and punch someone in the face. I can't do it. I can't. I need counselling. I can't. You know, oh, I've got to be immoral today. No, it's not in me. No, I just went with it. Let it go, let it go. I'm not holding back anymore. It was just natural. That's what happens when you've got young kids. You get all these great Disney songs that live in you and just come out every now and then. Why do we make being a Christian so hard? Because we don't understand that we are joined by faith and all we need to do is remain. And we remain by decision and consciousness. But we call to remembrance who we now are, the new creation we now are, that we were born again, that we have been broken off, we've been grafted in. His life is now our life. Not when we whip up Pentecostal moments, throughout day. And as his life flows, we just produce fruit. We get nicer. We get kinder. And it's not like, ooh, today I'm going to be more kind. Ooh. What's wrong with you? Stop it. Just let it flow. Let it flow. Don't be holding back anymore. Let it flow. And all of a sudden, I looked in the mirror the other day and thought, you're a really nice guy. Yeah, I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror, you know. I just thought, you're such a nice guy, you really are. And you're not even trying. Does an apple tree try to have apples? Or does it believe in seasons and springtime? Even some of the old stubborn sins in our life. Stop struggling. It's inevitable. Now, remain conscious to truth. I'm not saying that. I mean, don't throw away your boundaries. Wherever there's vision, there's restraint. I get that. But I can remember, you know, when I came to faith, I was bound by all manner of sins and addictions. But one of the ones that was hardest for me to get rid of was smoking. It was weird. I had worse addictions than that. But that one was like a stubborn leaf. Christians didn't help when I came to church with their encouraging comments. It's all right, brother. You won't go to hell. You'll just smell like you've been there. Thanks. Thanks. That has really helped me. That's really helped me, that has. You've empowered me. Or, what's that you've got in the hand? Another nail to your coffin. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, they won't stop you going to heaven. They'll just get you there earlier. Thanks over there. Loving the comments, the feedback today. When inside, they were probably doing stuff a lot worse than my external sin, you know? But it was something to me, I was like, I can't stop this. And I tried everything, smash your face out with polo mints and herbal cigarettes and nothing. And then one day I just yielded to his life. Because the bottom line is, God was going to get to my smoking. He was just busy. It's like Nurofen. Nurofen goes to where it's needed the most. Right? Nurofen's going to say, I'll be there in a minute, but at the moment I need really to be over here. Bigger pain here at the moment. Not you, I'm not talking your big pain. You know, that's not a word of knowledge, brother. You know, big pain here, Nurofen. You know, let it go. Release that. And but that's the life of God. That was me, like, Lord, you got... And he's like, seriously, if you could see the inner chart of your problem areas, you'd be saying, all right, Lord, your time. But I remember this story of this old man, and it really helped. This old man had an apple tree, and in the garden it came to the time of the year when the leaves would fall off. And there was this one leaf on the end of one branch that wouldn't fall off. And it started to irritate this old man, this Christian man. It began to irritate him. And in the end, he said, I'm going to do something about this. And he got a stool and a broom handle. And he got himself up. And he started to swipe at this leaf. And it was like the leaf was laughing at him. I'm going nowhere. And the next day he looked. And every other leaf, this one, this old stubborn one was there. And so he got another chair and he used duct tape, which mends everything, and puts it on that one. He balances, duct tape's two, and he's up there swinging. He's just about to hit it and everything collapses. He lands on the floor. The broom handles hit him on the head. He's laying on his back and the leaf's like, I'm still here. I'm still here. And as he laid there, the Lord spoke to him and said, just trust springtime, because it's inevitable that as the new life of spring flows through the trunk, into the branch, through everything joined to the branch, what's old will be pushed out and replaced with the leaf and the fruit of the new nature and season that you're now joined to. We shouldn't be lapsed with sin, but sometimes I think we're hard on ourselves. And we try to deal with things that God will deal with internally. And the best thing that we can do is what Jesus taught his disciples. Remain in me. Do you know a bit I didn't understand till last week? I read it many times and I understood it in part. But it's that moment when he says, if you remain in me, I'll remain in you. And I just again remembered how simple that is, using a branch and a vine as an analogy. That as the branch remains in the vine, the natural produce of that is the life of the vine remains in the branch. So as we are conscious to remain in him, we don't have to maintain him remaining in us. Because him, his life, Jesus doesn't remain in you. His spirit remains in you. But his spirit is him. So as we remain in him, it's about hanging out with God. It's about being a branch that hangs out with God. And realizes when we awaken in the morning, Christianity isn't a struggle or a strive. It does have its battles and its wars. But we should be living from a place of victory that comes from what he has done, not what we can produce. And I just love the simplicity of this when Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Hey boys, watch me for a moment. Me vine, you branch. The life that's in the vine is now the life that's in the branch. When we begin to understand this for the benefit of ourselves, oh my goodness, the things that God can do in our everyday lives as we just yield. Lord, today I'm yielding to you. Lord, I'm acknowledging to whom I'm now connected. There's no old nature in me. Well, I heard once a vicar preach on there's a good dog and a bad dog, then shoot one of them. You're not schizophrenic in any form or way in your faith. You were, but now you are. If we give place to dual identity, then your experience will be confusion. But the Bible says, but once were we. Such once were we, but we have now been. Old things have passed away, things are new. I know that you're taught this in that church. I don't have to labour that thought. So, this afternoon, tomorrow morning, your homework, just remember where you're now connected. Be conscious where you... Excuse me, down a little bit, thank you. Just remember to who you're now connected. That's your homework. Write it somewhere. Write it on a bit of paper, put it on the fridge or the mirror, whichever one you frequent the most. Somewhere it just says, remember who you're connected to. You're like, you're serious, this is a bit simple. Yeah, God didn't want to confuse you. And then, just begin to say, let it flow, Lord. That's why I imparted that catchy tune to you today, from the old redemption hymnal. Every morning we should be, let it flow, let it flow. I'm not holding back anymore. And just as his life flows, the fruit of the life of the Spirit is made manifest in our life. And we should be surprised by the apples we're growing, knowing that it's not us, it's him. But also, this has really helped me for praying for people. Because, you know, evangelists, what they're like. They're like, everybody come forward, and you get points for how many people fall over. And that's like a demonstration of how Holy Ghost you are. You know, only half of them fell over. He's not that good. When some of them are just token dropping and habit dropping just to keep you happy and to get you off of them because you're hurting the head. When the reality is, it's not in the falling or the dropping. I like a good goosebump like the next guy, but it's in what God's doing. And I've actually seen people that didn't fall over change more. But I'm not against falling over. Do whatever you want, you know. When the power of God touches a human, how does a human handle that? I get all that. But I can remember even as evangelists, we were taught, you know, just, man, we used to, I remember squeezing people's heads like a cantaloupe melon. I'm surprised my fingers didn't go through. Why? Because somewhere in the minister was a thought that they were producing the miracle instead of just letting the miracle come through them. Do you ever see a jump lead straining when it's connected to two batteries? Our lives are conduits from one kingdom to another. But as we live a life with God flowing through, words of knowledge should be every day. You should be saying, was that just a word of knowledge? I don't know. It just came so easy. Not, oh, it comes, oh, oh! That was a word of knowledge if I've ever felt one. Oh, there's a word of wisdom coming. It's coming. Watch out, watch out, watch out. Sometimes I say things, I'm like, that was more God than me. You know, Gina says, you're awesome, you're incredible. Say something else. I think, well, it must be God. Not really. It's natural. It's natural. Otherwise, we've got to whip up these Pentecostal frenzies. Get a choir, Cheryl, a whole band. You know. I love the guys, I call it miracles in blue jeans. The two guys on the temple to pray. You've heard me preach on them before. They're just on their way to pray. They weren't praying on their way to pray. They were probably walking down there and saying, oh man, I had a kebab last night. It was awesome. What did you have? Oh, I had a curry. It was amazing, really. And all of a sudden, they happened upon a person in need. A crippled guy that says, give me money. Like every good evangelist, we don't carry cash. They said, silver and gold have we none. All these little insights you find when you study the word like I do. But they don't go into this, oh no, he needs a miracle. You know, oh no, what are we going to do? Quick, Cheryl, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the whole choir in robes, hallelujah. And lift it higher, Cheryl, hallelujah. Vicar comes on like he's got no feet and says, he's here. Where was he? Anyway, moving on. They just say to this guy, all right, silver and gold as we none, but such as we've got, they knew that they were joined. Such as we have, will we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Just get up and walk. And as they did, the life of a vine flowed through the branch of their life, impacted him like a live battery touching a dead battery through a jump lead. Up he got, jumping and leaping, and they just carried on. So how was that kebab? Yeah, it was great. And it was just supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural, not weird, not spooky. They knew who they were. They knew to whom they were joined. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, when we pray for people, you don't have to always say to people, I'm praying for you now. Are you ready? One, two, three. Sometimes I'm thinking they wouldn't let me pray for them, so I'm not even going to ask them. I just put my hand on them and I just say, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Sometimes my children, I'm like, thank you, Holy Ghost. Because I know to whom I'm joined to. Now, if you've got a dead car battery, all you need is a living one and some jump leads. Our lives are called to be the jump leads between heaven and earth. You say, well, I'm not sure if I could release heaven through my life. Really? Do you speak in tongues? What do you think's happening? Well, it's a heavenly language. Stop there. I think you've got something. So it's not something you made up. No. Where are you getting it? Is it from this earth? No. Heavenly language, any clues in the name? So when you're karabasondo keba kietara masea bakura masea tekea remaya kontora masea, something's flowing and you're giving expression to it. Right? If you can do it in language, why can't you do it in every other area of your life? Let God flow through you. Well, I don't believe God can flow through me. Do you speak in tongues? Yeah, then you're deceived. But that's all right. Andy's here now. Let it flow. Let it flow. Don't go holding back anymore. We just got to let it flow. But that'll make me a weirdo. Only if you're a weirdo. If you plug a weirdo in, a weirdo gets weird. If you plug a normal person in, they don't get weird. Right? We just got to realize we are plugged in. Have we gone over time or something? I don't know how long I've been going on. I just get in a loop and there we go. Is this useful?
Yes.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit's real. You know, last week was Pentecost Sunday. Doesn't it annoy you, all these people? It's Pentecost Sunday. Every day is Pentecost Sunday. You know, we just need another Pentecost. No, we don't. There was nothing wrong with the old one. It still works. It's Pentecost Sunday. Well, if we actually lined up calendars, it would be about as authentic as Christmas. Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of... Come on. All of these things are life experience. We celebrate them on certain days. But if we're not living them, we're just celebrating days. Every day is Pentecost. For the benefit of others, God flowing through you. God does. God wants to move the power from the stage. He wants to give the church back to Jesus and the power back to the people. He wants us just ministering to people supernaturally, seeing people healed, but not squeezing their head like cantaloupe melons, you know, like, ah! And he's like, I'm going to go down because he's going to give me a headache in a moment. Just praying for people. Jesus hardly ever touched anyone. He just spoke words. And when he spoke, the Holy Ghost was on those words. And we've got to see our lives are taps to others. But let's just be selfish for a moment as we close. If you never let it go, still within you there should be a fruit-producing life flowing every day of the week. Yes. Unless there's a blockage. I was sharing yesterday. I tried some DIY again recently. It always is. Sometimes, no. Some people are gifted at certain things, you know. I'm getting there with DIY, and I said to Gina, we had a washing machine in the kitchen, and whenever you turned it on, the whole house shook. It was hilarious. When it went into the final cycle, there must be some problems with a joist or something. When it went into the final, every glass in the cupboard, everything's rattling in the house. This can't be good for the house. So I said, I am going to put the washing machine in the garage. I am going to plumb it from the kitchen, through the wall, over the rafters, to the back of the garage. And I could see Gina like, no, don't do it. Phone a friend. You know. But we have no friends. No, we do. We've got two. We've got a few. But no, I said, I'm going to do this because I was introduced to the whole new plumbing. Where it's no longer, I didn't have to weld copper pipes. It just pops in. It's genius, that stuff. It really is. It's like, I am such a good plumber now. And so I plumbed in. And I even put bends in, went through the wall up, and I was putting joints in, up and over, and I got it to the washing machine. So I've got the outlet there, mains outlet. I mean, this is don't get better than mains. Mains outlet, washing machine here. I'm like, come on, baby, and I pressed it, and the symbol came up, no water, and I was like. So I went to bed because I was going to pull it all apart, and that's not good. The next morning I got up, I thought, I'm going to suss this out. So I started at the washing machine and I started undoing the joints. Does water come out? Turn it on. Turn it on. Nothing. And I went all the way back and then I started at the other end. There's water coming out of the mains. That's good. That's good. First joint. Nothing. And I tracked it down to a piece of pipe in the middle, always in the middle. So I get the bit of pipe out and I'm like, and I look down it, which is a very professional thing to do. I look down it. And someone had stuck the stinking rubber cap, probably someone close here, had stuck the stinking rubber cap it had to be me, unless it was some idiot walking around being cute. I don't want to blame other people, so I'll take it on the chin. I'd stuck it down the tube, and this little bit of rubber was stopping the flow of main supply water to the washing machine. When I removed that bit of rubber and joined that bit of pipe, we are happy washing machine people. Okay, stay with me. Vine branch analogy taken into the plumbing world, because they didn't plumb much in those days. Him mains connection. All right? You pipe connected to him. If there's a blockage, remove the blockage. The blockage could be ignorance. Well, I just didn't know, but now you do. Could be pride. Could be all manner of things. But if you get that blockage out, you know, my washing machine doesn't flow on Sunday morning. It's ready now. If I go home now and walk in, I can put it, I've got it. Any time, middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can get up. I can wash whenever I want. Any time. I could wake up at 5 and say, I want to wash. I want to do some washing. And I could put it in, and you hear it. My little tubes are, and you feel it go round, like, oh, I suppose I should bolt them down better, but and I feel it, like, and I feel the pipe. Let it flow, no more dirty clothes anymore. Did you get something this morning? Let it flow. He has joined you to himself through faith. The seal is perfect because it's faith, not you. He is the vine. We are the branches. His spirit is still the life of the vine. The sap that flows through him is the sap that flows through me. I've just had one last thought to give you. When you start to meditate on the quality of the sap, it gets really exciting. Because the same life that's in the mains is in the pipe. The same life that's in the vine is in the branch. I was walking, praying with my dog the other day, and I said, but wait a moment, that means what's in the nature of the vine is in the nature that now is in me. Lord, your peace is my peace. Your joy is my joy. Your righteousness is my righteousness. Wait a moment. Your faith is my faith. Whatever's in the vine is available to the branch. May the communication, the living out of your faith, become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's now in you through Christ Jesus. The good thing that's in you is the Holy Spirit, and it comes through the union you now have with Christ. Amen? That ain't a bad message, is it? Eh? We did all good, eh? We had a good time this morning. Let's just pray. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you are unconnected, laying by a highway, withering, and you know it. Or you're still connected somewhere you don't want to be connected, you can't control your life. It's because you're connected to the wrong place. When we pray a prayer of salvation, you're broken off and you're grafted in, and that day things begin to change. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never given your life to Jesus, the reason that Christianity is so externally challenging is you have no internal experience. But if you get plugged in this morning, it all changes. What about if you've walked away from God? Well, in walking away from God, it can be like we've disconnected. And so suddenly we see the life of God, but we're not experiencing it. He didn't pull away from you, you pulled away from him. But that's good, because if you pull back to him, his life today will instantly be your life again.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.